In the second video, we'll investigate uniqueness and non-uniqueness for ordinary differential equations. Here's a problem that we're looking at. It's an autonomous ODE of this form. F does not depend on T explicitly, and we have some initial data. And we're assuming that Y is real valued. So Y is a function from the non-negative real numbers to the real numbers. The question we ask in this video is the solution unique? Can there be more than one solution of problem number one? Now, if we didn't have uniqueness, the model, this equation, lacks predictive power. It doesn't give a concrete and definite answer about what will happen in the future. Ordinary differential equations and any differential equations come from modeling some real-world phenomena. And if the model is unable to tell us something about the system that it's modeling, then it's practically useless. If it doesn't tell us exactly what will happen, at least under the modeling assumptions that were used in deriving the model, then the problem, the model and the equation is not useful. So uniqueness of solutions is essential. Let's first consider a problem which has more than one solution. It's this one. So f is a square root function. So we have this equation, y derivative is either square root of y if y is non-negative, and it's minus the square root of minus y if y is negative. So the f function, f of y, is either y square root of y or minus square root of minus y if y is positive or negative. And it looks like this. So when y is positive, it's the square root function. When y is negative, it's this minus square root function. And we start at y equals zero. And from the picture, you can see that it's exactly at this point, y equals zero, that this function f has infinite slope. So at this single point, y equals zero, the function is not differentiable. And as it turns out, this creates problems for uniqueness. And indeed, if you try to solve, if you at the moment forget about this case and just assume that y is non-negative, then this is a separable ODE and you will end up with this solution. If you just forget about this case and just assume that y is non-positive, then you will get this case. And in the same way, you can see that y is equal to zero for all times or is also a solution. The derivative of zero is zero, and the square root of zero is also zero. So all of these three functions are solutions. Here is the red one is the first solution, and the green one is the second solution. And of course, the third solution, which is y equals zero for all times, just stays here. So these are three different solutions of exactly the same problem. So clearly the solutions are non-unique. There are more than one solutions. And actually you can create infinitely many solutions. In this case, just stay at y equals zero for as long as you want, and then start walking along either the positive or negative solution from that point in time. Since this point of departure from zero is not unique, it can be any number, you have infinitely many solutions. So it turns out that the concept of Lipschitz continuity rules out this case. So remember that a Lipschitz continuous function from R to R, here implicitly we're saying that R is equipped with the canonical metric. So being Lipschitz then is the existence of a number which we'll call k, which is positive, such that this inequality holds no matter what x and y are. And clearly this function is not Lipschitz continuous, because to be Lipschitz continuous, the slope would have to be bounded. The slope of this function is not bounded. And the theorem that we'll prove is the following. Let's say that we have a Lipschitz continuous right-hand side, so f is this velocity function. And then let's say that we have two different functions from the non-negative real number, so this is the time axis, to R, satisfying exactly the same problem, but with different initial data. So we have two different initial data. Note that the equations themselves are exactly the same. The derivative of the functions is f of the function itself. What we'll prove in this theorem is something stronger than uniqueness. We'll prove stability. We'll prove that the absolute value of the difference of the two solutions at time t is at most this number. The absolute value of the difference between the initial data times this exponential function. And in particular, if the initial data are the same, then the solutions are the same. And this fact we can see directly from this estimate. If the two initial data are the same, then of course this is zero, no matter how big this is. So we get zero on the right-hand side, and the absolute value of something is less than or equal to zero. That means that x has to be equal to y at every single point in time. That's the same as saying that the two functions are the same. So what this theorem says is that solutions are stable with respect to initial data. If we change the initial data a little bit, we let y bar be a little bit different from x bar, then the corresponding solutions are, the difference in the corresponding solutions are proportional to the difference in the initial data. And of course, this exponential term can be big, but by making this difference as small enough, we can make the right-hand side as small as we like, hence making left-hand side as small as we like. So let's prove this first part, this stability bound in the theorem. So the only thing that we know about x and y is that they satisfy differential equations. Differential equations involve derivatives. So in some way or another, we have to apply what we know about the derivatives of x and y in order to say something about the functions x and y themselves. The absolute value function is not differentiable. So we cannot directly take the time derivative of this, but we can take the square of this. The square of the absolute value is a differentiable function, and we can take the time derivative of that. So that's what we do. We we write down the difference of the two solutions, we square it, and then we compute the derivative. We have to use the chain rule. Note that here I'm just neglecting the dependence on t. So here it should have said x of t, y of t, but I'm just neglecting that at the moment. So using the chain rule, you get 2 times x minus y times the derivative of x minus y, which is x derivative minus y derivative. Of course, we know what those are. They're f of x and f of y, respectively. So we insert that. Now, this is some number. And any number, no number can be greater than its own absolute value. So let's just replace this number by its absolute value. And the reason we did that is that we know something about the absolute value of the difference of f's. We assume that f is Lipschitz continuous. So there is some number k, so that this is less than or equal to k times the difference in the input functions. So when we apply that, this is a non-negative number. So when we replace this by something bigger, we get something bigger. If this was negative, then we would get something smaller. So we get 2 times k times x minus y times x minus y. So it's x minus y squared. So what we have proven now is that the derivative of x minus y squared is bounded by a constant, 2 times k, times the same thing, x minus y squared. Now, if it said equal here, then this would be a type of differential equation. It would be a differential equation in this function. Now it says less than or equal to, but we can still apply this solution procedure that you know. You multiply by an integrating factor. So if you move this to the left-hand side, you get the difference between this and this is less than or equal to zero. Then you have the, moving this to the other side, you get a minus, you multiply by e to the minus 2k times t. So what you're left with then is zero greater than or equal to the difference between the left and right hand sides multiplied by the integrating factor. Of course, the reason for multiplying by the integrating factor is that you can write all of this as the time derivative of this function. So what we have derived now is that the time derivative of this function, whatever that is never positive. The time derivative of a function not being positive means that the function is decreasing or staying constant over time. So this function at some time t, that's here, cannot be greater than what it was initially, which is to say, so this is the same thing, just with t equals zero. But now x of zero and y of zero, we know what are. They are x bar and y bar. The exponential here is zero, so this is just one. And now by multiplying, by dividing by this term on both sides and taking square roots on both sides, all of the twos will cancel and it gives us precisely what we wanted. And this finishes the proof. In the next video, we'll finally prove existence of solutions of ordinary differential equations.